What a blessed thing to know if you know that Christ dwelleth within. That gives you something to sing about when you know that. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Look at this morning, faith in action, and we'll look at that foundation that we have in our faith. We'll see that in the necessity to follow those that have walked in faith, and then looking unto the Lord, looking unto that end of their faith. You know, there are some today that have determined they're not going to read the books. They say it's much easier and more enjoyable just to wait till the movie comes out. And, of course, there's many problems for those who are interested in what the producers have instead of what the writer had to say. Do you want a movie producer to convey what the author wanted conveyed, or if you don't want the author wanted conveyed and what they wanted, you'll get two different stories. That's kind of leading up to what I understand that Hollywood has put out a movie that came out this week on Noah. I would just say to you, be warned. Be warned. It's produced, first of all, to get your money. Second, it's produced to lure Christians into the ungodly theaters where there is a constant diet of great wickedness. And that's a good reason just to completely stay away from the influence of it. Hollywood has no love for Christ or for His Word. And as I've kind of had a practice over the years of even the books that I read, of not reading those things where ones have surmised about a lot of things about Bible characters and have kind of created something of on their own. But and particularly, I think, with this, it would give you a very warped view of the biblical account of what God has given us, adding and deleting, making it a mythical fairy tale. I believe that's, from what I have read in the news, I think that's exactly what you would get. Not that there aren't things in this that are scriptural that are in it, but it's the things that they've added and taken away. I think of the words that the Lord has given, in that His Word is not to be tampered with. God has very carefully and meticulously given us His Word. He has given strict warnings about adding or taking away from His Word. And Revelation 18 or 22:18 says, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of the prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book." You know, our faith is constantly under attack. And the biblical accounts of history are being treated as myths. What is the foundation of your faith? What is the foundation of your faith? The passage before us today will give us some good practical instruction for the protection of your faith. And as it begins here in this seventh verse, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. You know, if your faith's foundation is not sound, your faith will soon crumble under the tests and the trials of life. And I believe in this first part of this verse, We have given to us the foundation of your faith. The foundation of your faith. When he says there, first of all, to define the terms here, when he says to remember, remember them which have the rule over you. The word remember there is to look again attentively at something. It's the idea of bringing into your mind in order to look into something. And he's saying, I want you to remember, I want you to bring back, to give careful consideration, not just something that is back there somewhere in the recesses of your brain, but to bring it up and to give it very careful consideration. So there's that he wants to bring up. He wants to be brought up into our minds that we would remember, that we would consider. And then there is the idea of, it says, them which have the rule over you. The rule is not it is not the word of one who is there with an iron fist to rule, but one who is, it's the idea, in fact, even some translations translate it leader, because of the idea it is to take that governorship over, to take that leadership of. So he says, he's saying here that I want you to remember, I want you to bring up to your mind, I want you to bring up and consider those which have the leadership, that rule over you. Now, as he went on in this passage, he said, who have spoken unto you the word of God. I think it's important in this to recognize he's not just talking about the person who is presently leading, or even as here the leadership within our own church. But he goes back here to the very source. He says, to that which has been, who have spoken the word of God. What is the source? What is the source? It's remembering those things that have been spoken by those who have brought to you the word of God. God himself is the source. God himself is the source of that which has been declared. God is the one who he spoke. Hebrews, when we began this book in Hebrews, the very first verse, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. He's saying, God spoke. God has given us the foundation for our faith. He is the one who ultimately is to be carefully brought to mind. When you're bringing to mind, yes, there are those that have been given to lead, but it is the leading of the Word of God. He is ultimately the one to be brought to mind. He's the ultimate leader. He has taken the governorship of your life as you've given yourself to him. He gave his word. You responded in submitting to him. He is your ultimate leader. And as your ultimate leader, he has provided for your keeping in many different ways. God has provided for your keeping in many different ways. How has he done that? Of course, when I make those statements, I said, you have responded. You have submitted to him. That's assuming that you have. That's assuming that you have. That you have accepted him as your ultimate leader. That you have submitted yourself unto him. But he did that. He gave us the word of God directly by the Holy Spirit of God. Men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. 2 Peter 1:21. We've been given a number of times in Scripture where God, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God, he has given us his word. It is God is the ultimate source. He has, through the Holy Spirit, given that word. And how did he do it? That verse, in the first verse of our book, at sundry times and in divers manners he spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. He spoke unto the fathers by the prophets. God, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and through his speaking, he has given his word. Here we have the Old Testament prophets. And then it says, and in these last days he's spoken unto us by his Son. We have the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the Son who has come and has revealed himself and spoken unto us. And the Son then giving to the apostles to remember and record those words. Peter said in 2 Peter, we've not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. We had those that were eyewitnesses there of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they heard his words as he spoke. How were they going to remember all that he said? How were they going to remember what he had said when they went to write? John 14 and verse 26 gives us the answer to that. Jesus said to them, when he talked of his leaving, he said, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. And so the Lord God provided, yes, for the prophets, he provided for the apostles. He provided for them that they would, yes, that they would remember the things that he said. And also, as the Lord told them before he rose again, he said, there's many things that you don't understand. And I can't, you can't receive them now. They didn't even understand his own having to go to the cross and die. So he said, the Holy Spirit, which I will send, he'll bring things to your remembrance what I've said, and he will teach you. He will teach you those things that you need. And so we have the New Testament scriptures that have been given to us through the ministry of the apostles. And we have that. Who are some of those that as we look at this passage that we're to remember that had the leadership over us? The apostolic ministry, the ministry of the apostles. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 11, or chapter 1, verse 11, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher. In the 12th verse, he says, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Here was the Apostle Paul, not ashamed of what he preached, because he was given, and the Lord was given to him that ministry of the apostle, that ministry to record those things of the Lord, that ministry of being taught those things that we needed yet further in the scriptures. Peter said, as he wrote in 1 Peter in chapter 1 and in 2 Peter chapter 1, he said, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. 2 Peter, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. God as our leader gave to us those to superintend over the foundation of our faith. He didn't just hand us his word. He gave it through faithful men. He gave it through faithful men whose lives were an example of the things which they preached. You know, now today, God has not just ended there, but he's gone further. It's not just historical. He's calling men today to be pastors and to be elders. They are to take up the rule. They are to take up the leadership. Not with some new revelation, but with that which God has already given by His Holy Spirit to the prophets, by His Son, by the apostles, whom He gave to establish the church. So when we look at that phrase, when we look at that phrase in this seventh verse, remember those, bring those to mind carefully, which have that leadership over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. God has very carefully given us the foundation for our faith. Recently, in speaking to a man who was very judgmental against God, who was very judgmental of a number of things in his own ignorance of God, but he made one statement to me. He said, "Why am I supposed to believe those in the past? If he wants me to believe, he should come to me and he should tell me today." I looked at him and smiled. I said, "Do you realize that's the reason I'm here today? Do you realize that God sent me here today to talk to you?" You know, I mean, and this is what the Lord has done. He has given, yes, that of the past, and He's given those today. And so in bringing to mind those to whom God has given to superintend over, what is the position? What is the position today of the pastors and the elders? Well, first of all, men who would meet certain qualifications that are laid out for us in Timothy and laid out for us in Titus. Why is that? Well, as you go on, I believe we'll see. It needs to be men who would guard their own lives and the testimony for Christ. Men who could take that oversight and men who would feed the flock. But he has given to us that you might see. That you might see how the life is lived. But he's given those, and we'll come to that in a moment, but he's given those who he called. He called to be over the church today. There are some today that would cast aside that there is to be any sort of an authority within the local church. Certainly there has been, as has been shown through the history of the Catholic Church and through the history of some in the Protestant Church, where there has been not a leadership in the sense that the Lord would have, but those that have taken a very dictatorial and a position that is not the way God has designed it to be. But in Acts chapter 20, Paul sent from Miletus to Ephesus, and he called the elders of the church. And in the 28th verse, he said to them, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all of the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." The first thing Paul said to them, he says, take heed to yourselves. Make sure that you are personally what you need to be if in this particular position. You need to take heed to yourselves first, and then, he says, and then to the flock, to all of the flock over which you have been made to be overseers, and then to feed them, with those that he's purchased with his own blood. There's a passage of Scripture that lays out the New Testament pattern that God has for the local church and how there is to be that place within the local church of those that are overseeing and those that are leading as they ought. And then as they take for themselves, for the flock, and then to feed them. In 1 Peter 5:2, he says, "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof." Yes, we are called to be under shepherds. It is a place for those in the local church of taking a leadership under the leadership of the Lord Jesus Christ until he, the chief shepherd, shall appear. And then, of course, it says, and then we must give account. and that we have to be thus very careful for. So he's, I believe in this passage, in verse 7, when he says, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken the word of God," there is a foundation that he has given us where we are to bring to mind, we are to bring to mind the very foundation of our faith. I think it starts with the word, it starts with God himself who gave his word. It goes with them that the Lord is, how he has communicated that word, how he has given it to us, yes, through the prophets. He's given us through the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, who then had then in the apostolic age for those things to be written down, so that we have that foundation. We have the Word of God. We have it here in our hands where we can read it. What a blessed thing it is to have the precious Word of God that has been given to us. And the Word of God has been spoken to us through those that have been given a place throughout the centuries in the past and presently in the local assembly that God has given. Remember, bring to mind. And as you bring to mind those things, those truths, those things that have been given where the Word of God has been spoken, then he says, in the middle of this verse, he said, whose faith follow? God has ordained that we see the life of those who are to be our leaders. God has ordained that we're to see the life of those who are to be our leaders. You know, when God called those and spoke to those in the Old Testament, those prophets weren't some supermen. They were men with the same passions like as we. They were men who their lives were able to be observed. They were men that God used. But they were men that he was observed. They were observed. Isn't it interesting that it was so with the Lord Jesus Christ? That his life was observed throughout his life and throughout his ministry. They could see, they could hear, they could listen, they could observe. His life, he lived a life that was sinless. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. John in the first chapter of his of John spoke to us and said it there in the 14th verse, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." I think of the passage in Luke. I believe it's in Luke. Luke here in chapter 1, For as much as we have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us from the beginning, were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. Another verse talks about him whom our hands have handled. The Lord Jesus Christ was there to be observed and to see that it was authenticated that he was truly, even the soldiers there at the cross, the one declared, surely this was the Son of God. It was so with the apostles. It was so with the apostles how we saw their life and their life as it was changed, and how it was men looked at these who were common men and seeing the change that had taken place in their lives, to see that here were men that gave their lives for the Lord. It is believed that a great number of them suffered martyrdom for their faith as they stood for the Lord. And I believe it is so with those in leadership today. God wants you to be able to observe the life of faith lived by those who would lead you. Their walk is as important as their talk, is it not? Remember what Paul told Timothy? Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example or a pattern of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Timothy, he says, don't let anyone despise your youth, but you be an example. Your life should be a life that others can follow. Your life should be a pattern for the believer. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul told Timothy, hold fast the form of sound words which you've heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus, that good thing which was committed unto us keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. How important it is that there is a faith that can be followed, not just spoken of. Paul said of his own walk of faith in 1 Corinthians 4, he said, I beseech you, be ye followers of me. He said that in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1 as well. He said, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. He was not claiming perfection in his life. He speaks in other passages that is not so, but he was speaking, as I follow the Lord, then in that I'm following the Lord, as I follow Christ, then be a follower of me. You know, we talked of the ordination council that met this last week. And, you know, part of that was there's a lot of things that the men wanted to know. What they wanted to know what Pastor Howard believed. He wrote a good doctrinal statement, and they read that, and then they wanted to ask him. They wanted to find out, do you believe what you wrote? And to see how he would answer those questions. And that's very important, what one believes. You want to make sure they must be orthodox in their belief. But there was more than that. There was, and some of the things that were discussed after he left, he answered his questions. They gave their testimony, his wife. Jenny gave her testimony, and then they went through the doctrinal statement. This lasted from 10 o'clock in the morning till like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So, well, no, Marlene fixed a wonderful dinner for us, and you ladies that helped her. And so we had a wonderful dinner in the middle. But it was a good day to look through just the precious doctrines of the faith. But they were also looking to see what is the spirit of the man. Does he admit when he doesn't know? You know, one of the things that impressed him as much as anything is when he would say, "I don't know. I'm going to have to look at that." You know, I mean, just a recognition of a spirit of recognizing. Of course, they were impressed with the knowledge of what he knew. But you know something else that made a big impression? It was when his wife said, when asked if her husband was, "I see the same man at home that I see in the church." That doesn't always happen. Sometimes there's a mask, there's a face before the people, and then there's another life that's lived somewhere else. How important it is that life is able to be observed. And speaking of the ordination council, they did the examining, but they examined things on our behalf. But you who observed the life, you who observed testimony, that's one of the reasons that we don't have an ordaining immediately when somebody comes and begins to serve in the church. Because you want the opportunity for the observing of the life. Is there a living what is being taught? And so the ordaining is done by the local church. And so though we have a unanimous vote of the ordination council that recommending to our church that we ordain, it will come to the membership of this church to vote whether there ought to be the ordaining, as you have observed the life as well as the doctrine and as well as the teaching. So we have that. And then just to let you know the process after that vote, if it is a positive vote, then we will set a date for an actual ordination service at another time, just so you understand that. That's just kind of interjected here in the middle. But you know, we live in a world of hypocrisy. Every day there is a new revelation of some corruption in the private life of some national figure, and it's not always just the political figures. Sometimes it's those that are nationally, religiously known and supposedly respected because it's found out that there was a secret life that was not ought to be. In the local church, we have the opportunity to observe a life of faith. And then, as he says here, whose faith follow. Don't we thank the Lord for those who have a life that is lived out what is being taught? It helps us to see. It helps us to see, well, what does it look like to live as this says? And then when we see that being lived out in the life of a believer, we say, oh yeah, I see that. That's what I need to be. That's what I need to follow. And that's where when the Apostle Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. He wasn't saying follow me blindly, but he says follow me as I follow Christ. Then in the last part of that verse, he said, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Considering the end of their conversation. The word considering is examine. Look very attentively, to consider well, to observe accurately. Consider what is the result of their faith. What is the end? When they exit this life, what is the very end result of their faith? We've seen that here in the book of Hebrews, haven't we? We've seen that in the 12th chapter in the second verse when he said, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down on the right hand of God. Our Lord Jesus is the author of our faith. And as we looked at the end, we looked at who is the finisher of our faith, and we looked at the scriptures that looked at what God has prepared for them that love him. We looked to the end. We look to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes for the church. We look for the safety that the Lord gives at the time when there's great judgment that comes upon the earth in the tribulation period. We look to the millennial reign of Christ when it says that we will come and rule and reign with him. And we look to the new heavens and the new earth, where we looked at the new Jerusalem that will come down from heaven. And just getting a glimpse of the beauty and the wonder and of what God has prepared for them that love him. Oh, in the book of Jude, that 21st verse, he says, "Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." Oh, that we might look beyond our present circumstances with your faith. We looked at Abraham. We looked at those that lived by faith in this book. We looked at those who looked beyond the present. They looked to the end of their faith. Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. He went through the circumstances and the trials of this life. He went through looking to the promises of God. Some of those things that he never received here. Oh, but he saw the end. He saw the place that and what God has prepared for them that love him. Are you looking beyond the future? Are you looking beyond the present? Looking to the Lord Jesus Christ, who's the author and the finisher of your faith. So this seventh verse. Boy, there's a lot there. There's a lot there for us. That we would understand that God has given you an unshakable foundation for your faith. God has given you those to rule and to lead, those to lead you in what God has given, to lead you in the Word of God. Oh, the preciousness of what God has given. He's given us men, and we have looked in the book of Hebrews, those who have gone before, that we might follow them in their faith. He's given us those within the local assembly that ought to be living a life that they can lead and that you can follow in their faith as you observe how the Christian life is lived. And certainly none of us live that, as I said, perfectly. I certainly wouldn't want you to follow me in every area of my life. But as I seek to live before the Lord, would like to be able to say, "Follow me as I follow the Lord." May that be so in your lives. May people be able to look at you and your life, and yes, you recognize how you have failed many times, but do you have a life as you're following the Lord that you could say, "Don't follow me here, but please follow me here as I follow the Lord," as you observe that, and then have your eyes set to the end of your faith. Consider the end which those before have lived, and consider their life and that's been demonstrated. Because that's the end for which we are to live. The end that Jesus has prepared for those that love him. May the Lord use this passage in our hearts today to draw us close, understanding the foundation of our faith, being able to follow those who walk by faith, and being able to look ahead to the end of our faith, shall we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. Lord, we thank you for that foundation that you've given as you have spoken, as you have had that word preserved and you've given it by the Holy Spirit unto men. And, oh, Lord, that we have it here in our hands today, that we might follow the precious Word of God. And oh Lord, that we would have those individuals who our faith in can follow. Lord, as we see practically your word being lived out in the lives of individuals, we thank you, Lord, for those that you've given us, Lord, that we can follow their faith. And then, Lord, oh Lord, help us to take our eyes off of the present and put our eyes upon thee and the very end of our faith, that we may live lives that are holy, lives that are according to your word, and lives that are in faith to our Lord and Savior and his eternal salvation. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Take your hymnals and turn to number